Our second reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, was one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, the disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Joan Didion, an author and commentator, once wrote, "We tell ourselves stories in order to live." I tend to agree with this idea. I would probably put it a little bit differently. I'd say we tell ourselves stories in order to give meaning to our experience. We tell stories to help us understand the intersections in our lives. And great stories have several elements in common. They convey a truth. They are honest. They move us from one place to another. They change us. They remind us that our perceived differences are just that, perceived. They remind us that we are more alike than we are different. When we listen to one another, we become more of who we are. And when we are listened to by another, we both become more. And so, as we study the scriptures, The stories of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the retelling of that great story of God's people, we hear something new every time. We are changed every time. We have opportunities to understand one another in new ways. One time we might hear the story and we might feel, just this story I just read, we might feel at one time like we are Thomas, not sure if we can believe what we're being told. Another time we might feel like one of the disciples who was there the whole time. Another time we might be someone who heard the story 2 or 3 weeks from when it happened. We all find a way to fit into the stories of God's people. We are God's people, and the stories are about us. So on that same Easter day, remember, each gospel has a different way of telling the story of Jesus, and there are other things that happen on Easter evening, depending on where you read and which gospel writer you're paying attention to. But we're told here in the Gospel of John on that same first day of the week, in the evening, the disciples are together in a room. The room is locked because they are afraid of the Jewish leaders, the ones who colluded with the Roman leaders to execute Jesus. The disciples are together because they're not sure what is next. They have heard from Mary and from Mary that Jesus has risen. They're instructed to go ahead to Galilee where he will meet them. We're not sure if they're in Galilee in this room, but there they are together, still wondering and telling stories and remembering what had happened. And in their midst, suddenly, Jesus is there. Now, it's easy to get sidetracked in this story by wondering, how did Jesus get into the locked room? I'm going to leave that aside for everyone, but instead, think about what it would have been like to be there. The disciples were probably a bit nervous and afraid and confused. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And somehow the disciples begin to rejoice as they recognize him. We don't know what happens next. We don't know how Jesus leaves. We don't know what the disciples do for the next few days. We know that Thomas shows up late to the party. And they tell him with excited voices, "Jesus was here. We saw him. Can you believe it?" Can you hear those voices? How excited they were as they told the story. And Thomas says, "No, I can't believe it. I'm not going to believe it until it happens to me." It's a great story. It has all the elements that a storyteller would say it needs. It has truth. We feel the truth of the story. We feel the power of those words when Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And he breathes the Holy Spirit into them. It has mystery. We don't know how Jesus gets there. We don't know how Jesus leaves. It has somebody who won't just believe every part of the story, who questions everything. And we wonder what happens next. And it leads us back to ourselves. The story helps us learn something about who we are and what we believe. It helps us to know that We don't have to believe everything. We can ask questions. We can wonder. The story has room for all of us. No matter how we believe, no matter what we believe, we can find our way to faith in this story. Anne Hamilton is an artist and kind of a philosopher. And she's written an essay called Making, Not Knowing, that helps us in this life of storytelling and living into the stories that shape who we are. She says one doesn't arrive in words or in art by necessarily knowing where one is going. In every work of art, something appears that does not previously exist. And so, by default, you work from what you know to what you don't know. You may set out for New York, but you may find yourself in Ohio. You may set out to make a sculpture and find that time is your material. You may pick up a paintbrush and find that your making is not on canvas or wood, but in relations between people. You may set out to walk across the room, but getting to what is on the other side might take 10 years. You have to be open to all possibilities and to all routes, circuitous or otherwise. But not knowing, waiting, and finding, though they may happen accidentally, are not accidents. They involve work and research. Not knowing isn't ignorance. Fear springs from ignorance. Not knowing is a permissive and rigorous willingness to trust, leaving knowing in suspension, trusting in possibility without result, regarding as possible all manner of response. The responsibility of the artist is the practice of recognizing. In so many ways, the gospel writers were artists, the writers of all of our scriptures from beginning until end were artists who recognized the stories that we needed to know. So every time we read a story from our sacred scriptures, we recognize something new. We fit into it a little bit differently because every time we read, we bring a new experience and a new context to that experience of reading. We find some way of believing that is different than it was the last time we read. We find out whom we believe in through our own experience and sharing the story with one another. I have been reading the Book of Joy, which is by Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. In it, they discuss how one might have more joy in one's life. And they're very clear to help us know, the reader, to know that joy is not something that we want to confuse with happiness. Happiness is a more transient notion, but that joy is something that sits with us and is at the core of our being, no matter how we feel in any given moment. So these two men are leaders throughout the world. They're respected for the way they live and the way they challenge people in their lives. And they come to the questions of life and understanding life with a different set of beliefs and practices. Archbishop Tutu is a Christian from the Anglican community, and he is a black person who lived through apartheid in South Africa. The Dalai Lama is from the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, and he became a refugee escaping Tibet, as China was invading when he was a teenager nearly 50 years ago. They are both in their 80s. And one of the things that comes up throughout the book is the notion that human beings are hardwired to connect with one another. Archbishop Tutu describes this notion of connection with the idea of Ubuntu. A person is a person through other people. A person is a person through other people. Humanity is a quality we owe to each other. We create each other and need to sustain this otherness in creation. And if we belong to each other, we participate in our creations. We are because you are, and since you are, I definitely am. The I am is not a rigid subject, but a dynamic self-constitution dependent on this otherness, creation of relation and distance. So in these stories we read in the Gospels, this story where Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection, we are reminded that we are connected. That we don't go through this life alone. We are not independent agents. We are connected to one another. We find our way with one another through our stories that we share, through transformation, through change because of these relationships. We are never on our own. Jesus visits the disciples when they are feeling lost and alone and afraid. Remember, he had just been executed 3 days ago. He had made predictions about rising again, but who really expected that? And then the women came and said, well, we saw him. But who really believes when the women come and tell stories? And there they were, in a room, afraid, with the doors locked, keeping out the people they didn't know, and Jesus is there. Peace be with you, he says. Thomas shows up. And he says, well, I don't believe you. Jesus returns to the group who are in another room a week later. And he says, peace be with you. He says, look, see, touch, know. Look, see, touch, know. And blessed be those who believe without any of that. Blessed be those who believe without seeing. Blessed be those who learn from your story. May we all be changed. May we all believe. May we all have faith strengthened through the stories of one another and of God's people, through the stories that we have yet to learn. May peace be with you. May peace be with each of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.